The darkness becomes a palace. Let it rule! Let it rule!
Dated Kakava, 1173, 22 seconds pre-death. A dark-eyed Silei man of unknown profession.
You think one of those will save us?
Moash was scowling as he looked at the prayer tied about Kaladin's upper right arm. Kaladin glanced to the side. He stood at parade rest as Sadius's soldiers crossed their bridge. The chilly spring air felt good now that he'd started working. The sky was bright, cloudless, and the storm wardens promised that no high storm was near. The prayer tied on his arms was simple. Three glyphs. Wind, protection, beloved. A prayer to Yzerizay, the Storm Father, to protect loved ones and friends. It was the straightforward type his mother had preferred. For all her subtlety and wryness, whenever she'd knitted or written a prayer, it had been simple and heartfelt. Wearing it reminded him of her.
I can't believe you paid good money for that. If there are heralds watching, they don't pay any attention to bridge men.
I've been feeling nostalgic lately, I guess.
The prayer was probably meaningless, but he'd had reason to start thinking more about religion lately. The life of a slave made it difficult for many to believe that anyone or anything was watching. Yet many bridgemen had grown more religious during their captivity. Two groups, opposite reactions.
Does that mean some are stupid and others are callous? Or something else entirely?
They're going to see us dead, you know. This is it.
The bridge men were exhausted. Kaladin and his team had been forced to work the chasms all night. Ashao had put strict requirements on them, demanding an increased amount of salvage. In order to meet the quota, they'd forgone training to scavenge. And then, today, they'd been awakened for a morning chasm assault after only 3 hours of sleep. They were drooping as they stood in line, and they hadn't even reached the contested plateau yet.
Let it come. They want us dead? Well, I'm not gonna back down. We'll show them what courage is. They can hide behind our bridges while we charge.
That's no victory, Scar. I say we attack the soldiers right now.
Our own troops?
Sigsel turned his dark-skinned head and looked down the line of men.
Sure. They're gonna kill us anyway. Let's take a few of them with us. Damnation, why not charge Sadius? His guard won't expect it. I'll bet we could knock down a few and grab their spears, then be on to killing Light Eyes before they cut us down.
No. It wouldn't accomplish anything. They'd have us dead before we could so much as inconvenience Sadius.
And this will accomplish something? Damnation, Kaladin! I feel like I'm already dangling from the noose.
I have a plan.
He waited for the objections. His other plans hadn't worked. No one offered a complaint.
Well then, what is it?
You'll see today. If it works, it will buy us time. If it fails, I'll be dead. In that case, Deft has orders to lead you on an escape attempt tonight. You're not ready, but at least you'll have a chance.
That was far better than attacking Sadius as he crossed. Kaladin's men nodded, and Moash seemed content. As contrary as he'd been originally, he had grown equally loyal. He was hot-headed, but he was also the best with his spear. Sadius approached, riding his roan stallion, wearing his red shard plate, helm on but visor up. By chance, he crossed on Kaladin's bridge, though, as always, he had 20 to choose from. Sadius didn't give Bridge 4 so much as a glance.
Break and cross!
The bridgemen crossed their bridge.
Pull and lift!
It felt heavier than it ever had before. The bridgemen broke into a trot, rounding the army column and hustling to reach the next chasm. In the distance behind, a second army, one in blue, was following them, crossing using some of Sadius's other bridge crews. It looked like Dalinar Kholin had given up his bulky mechanical bridges and was now using Sadius's own bridge crews to cross. So much for his honor and not sacrificing bridgeman lives. In his pouch, Kaladin carried a large number of infused spheres, obtained from the money changers in exchange for a greater quantity of dun spheres. He hated taking that loss, but he needed the stormlight. They reached the next chasm quickly, It would be the next to last one, according to the word he'd gotten from Matal, Hashal's husband. The soldiers began checking their armor, stretching, anticipation spread rising in the air like small streamers.
Lower and push!
The bridgemen set their bridge and stepped back. Kaladin noted Lopin and Silent Dabbit approaching with their stretcher, waterskins and bandages inside. Lopin had hitched the stretcher to a hook at his waist, making up for his missing arm. The two moved among the members of Bridge 4, giving them water. As he passed Kaladin, Lopin nodded toward the large bulge at the stretcher's center, the armor.
When do you want it?
Right before we run the assault. You did well, Lopin.
A one-armed Herdazian is still twice as useful as a no-brained Aleffi. Plus, so long as I've got one hand, I can still do this.
Lopin covertly made a rude gesture toward the marching soldiers. Kaladin smiled, but was growing too nervous to feel mirth. It had been a long time since he'd gotten jitters going into a battle. He thought Tux had beaten that out of him years ago.
Hey, I need some of that.
Kaladin spun to see a soldier walking over. He was exactly the type of man Kaladin had known to avoid back in Amaram's army. Dark-eyed, but of modest rank, he was naturally large and had probably gotten promoted by sheer virtue of size. His armor was well-maintained, but the uniform underneath was stained and wrinkled, and he kept the sleeves rolled up, exposing hairy arms. At first, Kaladin assumed that the man had seen Lopin's gesture, but the man didn't seem mad. He shoved Kaladin aside, then pulled the waterskin away from Lopin. Nearby, the soldiers waiting to cross had noticed. Their own water crews were much slower, and more than a few of the waiting men eyed Lopin and his waterskins. It would set a terrible precedent to let the soldiers take their water. But that was a tiny problem compared with a greater one. If those soldiers swarmed around the litter to get water, they'd discover the sack full of armor. Kaladin moved quickly, snatching the water skin from the soldier's hand.
You have your own water crews.
I don't want to wait.
How unfortunate.
Kaladin stepped right up to the man, meeting him eye to eye. Silently, he cursed the idiot. If it turned into a scuffle, the soldier hesitated, even more astonished to see such an aggressive threat from a bridgeman. Kaladin wasn't as thick-armed as this man, but he was a finger or two taller. The soldier's uncertainty showed in his face.
Just back down.
But no.
Backing down from a bridgeman while my squad is watching?
The man made a fist. Within seconds, the entire bridge crew was there. The soldier blinked as Bridge 4 formed around Kaladin in an aggressive, inverted wedge pattern, moving naturally, smoothly, as Kaladin had trained them. Each one made fists, giving the soldier ample chance to see that the heavy lifting had trained these men to a physical level beyond that of the average soldier. The man glanced back at his squad as if looking for support.
Do you want to spark a fight now, friend? If you hurt the bridgemen, I wonder who Sadius will make run this bridge.
Probably full of crem anyway.
The members of Bridge 4 relaxed, though they received more than a few appreciative looks from the other soldiers in line. For once, there was something other than scowls. Hopefully, they wouldn't realize that a squad of bridgemen had quickly and accurately made a battle formation commonly used in spear fighting. Kaladin waved for his men to stand down, nodding his thanks. They fell back, and Kaladin tossed the recovered water skin back to Lopin.
I'll keep a tighter grip on these things from now on, Gancho.
What?
Well, I've got a cousin in the water crews, you see, and I'm thinking that he might owe me a favor on account of this one time I helped his sister's friend escape a guy looking for her.
You do have a lot of cousins.
Never enough. You bother one of us, you bother us all. That's something you strawheads never seem to get. No offense or anything, Gancho.
Don't make trouble for the soldier. Not today.
I'll make enough of that myself soon.
All right for you. You sure you don't want any?
I'm sure.
Kaladin's stomach was unsettled. Before long, the time came to cross and pull the bridge up for the last run.
Pull and lift!
The assault. Sadius's soldiers were forming ranks. Matal waved Kaladin's crew forward. Dalinar Kolin's army had fallen behind, coming more slowly because of his larger numbers. Kaladin took his place at the very front of his bridge. Ahead, the Parshendi were lined up with bows on the edge of their plateau, staring down the oncoming assault.
Are they singing already?
Kaladin thought he could see their lips moving. Moash was on Kaladin's right, Rock on his left. Only three on the death line, because of how short-handed they were. He'd put Shen in the very back, so he wouldn't see what Kaladin was about to do.
I'm going to duck out from underneath once we start moving. Rock, you take over. Keep them running.
Very well. It will be hard to carry without you. We have so few men, and we are very weak.
You'll manage. You'll have to.
This thing you will try is dangerous.
Perhaps.
Can I help?
I'm afraid not, my friend. But it strengthens me to hear you ask.
Rock didn't get a chance to reply. Matal signaled for the bridge crews to go. Arrow shot overhead to distract the Parshendi. Bridge 4 broke into a run. Kaladin ducked down and dashed out in front of them. Lopin was waiting to the side, and he tossed Kaladin the sack of armor. He focused on his goal, protecting Bridge 4. Stormlight flooded from the pouch at his waist, but he didn't draw too much, just enough to give him a jolt of energy. Syl zipped in front of him, a ripple in the air, nearly invisible. Kaladin whipped the tie off the sack, pulling out the vest and throwing it awkwardly over his head. He ignored the ties at the side, getting on the helm as he leaped over a small rock formation. The shield came last, red Parshendi bones in a crisscross pattern on the front. Even while donning the armor, Kaladin easily stayed far ahead of the heavily laden bridge crews. His stormlight-infused legs were quick and sure. The Parshendi archers directly ahead of him abruptly stopped singing. Several of them lowered their bows, and though it was too distant to make out their faces, he could sense their outrage. Kaladin had expected this. He hoped for it. The Parshendi left their dead, not because they were uncaring, but because they found it a terrible offense to move them. Merely touching the dead seemed a sin. If that was the case, a man desecrating corpses and wearing them into battle would be far, far worse. As Kaladin grew closer, those who had lowered their bows raised them, and they tried, with everything they had, to kill him. Arrows flew at him, dozens of them. They weren't fired in careful waves. They flew individually, rapidly, wildly, each archer loosing at Kaladin as quickly as he could. A swarm of death bore down on him. Pulse racing, Kaladin ducked to the left, leaping off a small outcropping. Arrows sliced the air around him dangerously close, but while infused with the stormlight, his muscles reacted quickly. He dodged between arrows, then turned in the other direction, moving erratically. Behind, Bridge 4 came into range, and not a single arrow was fired at them. Other bridge crews were ignored as well, many of the archers focusing on Kaladin. The arrows came more swiftly, spraying around him, bouncing off his shield. One sliced open his arm as it shot past. Another snapped against his helm, nearly knocking it free. The arm wound leaked light, not blood, and to Kaladin's amazement, it slowly began to seal up, frost crystallizing on his skin and stormlight draining from him. He drew in more, infusing himself to the cusp of glowing visibility. He ducked, he dodged, he jumped, he ran. His battle-trained reflexes delighted in the newfound speed, and he used the shield to knock arrows out of the air. It was as if his body had longed for this ability, as if it had been born to take advantage of the stormlight. During the earlier part of his life, he had lived sluggish and impotent. Now he was healed. Not acting beyond his capacities, no, finally reaching them. A flock of arrows sought his blood, but Kaladin spun between them, taking another slice on the arm, but deflecting the others with shield or breastplate. The flight came, and he brought his shield up, worried that he was going to be too slow. However, the arrows changed course, arcing toward his shield, slamming into it, drawn to it.
I'm pulling them to it.
Kaladin remembered dozens of bridge runs, with arrows slamming into the wood near where his hands had clung to the support bars, always just missing him.
How long have I been doing this? How many arrows did I draw to the bridge, pulling them away from me?
He didn't have time to think about that. He kept moving, dodging. He felt arrows whoosh through the air, felt the splinters as they hit stone or shield and broke. He'd hoped that he would distract some of the Parshendi from firing on his men, but he had no idea how strong a reaction he'd get. Part of him exulted in the thrill of ducking, dodging, and blocking the hail of arrows. He started to slow, however. He tried to suck in stormlight, but none came. His fears were drained. He panicked, still dodging, but then the arrow falls began to slacken. Kaladin realized that the bridge crews had parted around him, leaving a space for him to keep dodging while they passed him and set their burdens. Bridge 4 was in place, cavalry charging across to attack the archers. Despite that, some of the Parshendi continued to fire on Kaladin, enraged. The soldiers cut these Parshendi down easily, sweeping the ground of them and making room for Sadeus' foot soldiers. Kaladin lowered his shield. It bristled with arrows. He barely had time to take a fresh breath of air as the bridgemen reached him.
You fool! You storming fool! What was that? What were you thinking?
Horse incredible.
You should be dead.
Stormfather!
Moash pulled an arrow from Kaladin's vest at the shoulder.
Look at these!
Kaladin looked down, shocked, to find a dozen arrow holes in the sides of his vest and shirt where he'd narrowly avoided being hit. Three arrows stuck from the leather.
Storm blessed. That's all there is to it.
Kaladin shrugged off their praise, his heart still pounding. He was numb, amazed that he'd survived, cold from the stormlight he'd consumed, exhausted as if he'd run a rigorous obstacle course. He looked to Teft, raising an eyebrow, nodding toward the pouch at his waist. Teft shook his head. He'd watched. The stormlight rising from Kaladin hadn't been visible to those observing, not in the light of day. Still, the way Kaladin had dodged would have looked incredible, even without the obvious light. If there had been stories about him before, they would grow greatly following this. He turned to look at the passing troops. As he did, he realized something. He still had to deal with Matal.
Fall into line, men!
They obeyed reluctantly, falling into place around him in a double rank. Ahead, Matal stood beside their bridge. He looked concerned, as well he should. Sadeus was riding up. Kaladin steeled himself, remembering how his previous victory, when they'd run with the bridge on its side, had been turned on its head. He hesitated, then hurried over toward the bridge where Sadeus was going to ride past Matal. Kaladin's men followed. Kaladin arrived as Matal bowed to Sadeus, who wore his glorious red shard plate. Kaladin and the bridge men bowed as well.
Avarak Matal, this man looks familiar.
He's the one from before, Bright Lord. The one who...
Oh, yes, the miracle. And you sent him forward as a decoy like that? One would think that you would be hesitant to dare such measures.
I take full responsibility, Bright Lord.
Well, luckily for you it worked. I suppose I'll have to promote you now. Those savages practically ignored the assault force. Oh, 20 bridges set, most with nary a casualty. It seems like a waste somehow. Consider yourself commended. Most remarkable, the way that boy dodged.
He kicked his horse into motion, leaving Matal and the bridgemen behind. It was the most backhanded promotion Kaladin had ever heard, but that would do. Kaladin smiled broadly as Matal turned to him, eyes enraged.
You! You could have gotten me executed!
Instead, I got you promoted.
I should see you strung up anyway.
It's been tried. Didn't work. Besides, you know that from now on Sadeus is going to expect me to be out there distracting the archers. Good luck getting any other bridgemen to try that.
Matal's face grew red. He turned and stalked away to check on the other bridge crews. The two nearest, Bridge 7 and Bridge 18, stood looking toward Kaladin and his team.
All 20 bridges were set? Hardly any casualties? Stormfather, how many archers were firing at me?
You did it, Kaladin! You found the secret! We need to make this work. Expand it.
I'll bet I could dodge those arrows if that were all I was doing. With enough armor.
We should have more than one. Five or so, running around, drawing the Parshendi attacks.
The bonds. This is what made it work. The Parshendi were so mad that they ignored bridge crew. If all five were the bones of Parshendi...
That made Kaladin consider something. He looked back, searching through the bridge men.
Where's Shane?
There. He was sitting on the rocks, distant, staring forward. Kaladin approached with the others. The Parsh man looked up at him, face a mask of pain, tears streaking his cheeks. He looked at Kaladin and turned away, closing his eyes.
He sat down like that the moment he saw what you'd done, lad. Might not be good for bridge runs anymore.
Kaladin pulled the carapace-tied helm off his head, then ran his fingers through his hair. The carapace stuck to his clothing, stank faintly, even though he'd washed it off down below.
We'll see. For now, there are still many bridge crews that got fired upon. You know what to do.
The men nodded, trotting off to search for the wounded. Kaladin set one man to watch over Shen. He wasn't sure what else to do with the Parsh man, and tried not to show his exhaustion as he put his sweaty, carapace-covered cap and vest in Lopin's litter. He knelt down to go through his medical equipment in case it was needed, and found that his hand was shaking and quivering. He pressed it down against the ground to still it.
Cold, clammy skin. Nausea? Weakness? I'm in shock.
You all right, lad?
I'll be fine.
You don't look...
I'll be fine. What's important is that the men are safe.
You're gonna do this every time, whenever we go to battle?
Whatever keeps them safe.
You're not immortal, Kaladin. The Radiants, they could be killed just like any man. Sooner or later, one of those arrows will find your neck instead of your shoulder.
The Stormlight heals.
The Stormlight helps your body heal. That's different, I'm thinking. We can't lose you, lad. The men need you.
I'm not going to avoid putting myself in danger, Teft. And I'm not going to leave the men to face a storm of arrows if I can do something about it.
Well, you are going to let a few of us go out there with you. The bridge can manage with 25 if it has to. That leaves us a few extra, just like Rock said. And I'll bet some of those wounded from the other crews we saved are well enough to begin helping carry. They won't dare send them back to their own crews, not so long as Bridge 4 is doing what you did today and helping the whole assault work.
Kaladin could imagine Dalet doing something like this. He'd always said that as sergeant, part of his job was to keep Kaladin alive.
All right.
Teft nodded.
You were a spearman, Teft. Don't try to deny it. How did you end up here, in these bridge crews?
It's where I belong.
Teft turned away to supervise the search for wounded. Kaladin sat down, then lay back, waiting for the shock to wear off. To the south, the other army, flying the blue of Dalinar Kholin, had arrived. They crossed to an adjacent plateau. Kaladin closed his eyes to recover. Eventually, he heard something and opened his eyes. Syl sat cross-legged on his chest. Behind her, Dalinar Kholin's army had begun an assault onto the battlefield, and they managed to do so without getting fired on. Sadeus had the Parshendi cut off.
That was amazing. What I did with the arrows.
Still think you're cursed?
No. I know I'm not. But that means the failures were all just me. I let Tien die. I failed my spearmen. The slaves I tried to rescue. Tara.
Kaladin hadn't thought of her in some time. His failure with her had been different from the others, but a failure it was nonetheless.
If there's no curse or bad luck, no god above being angry at me, I have to live with knowing that with a little more effort, a little more practice or skill, I could have saved them.
Kaladin, you need to get over this. Those things aren't your fault.
That's what my father always used to say. Overcome your guilt, Kaladin. Care, but not too much. Take responsibility, but don't blame yourself. Protect, save, help, but know when to give up. There's such precarious ledges to walk. How do I do it?
I don't know. I don't know any of this, Kaladin, but you're ripping yourself apart, inside and out.
It was wondrous. I was a storm, Syl. The Parshendi couldn't touch me. The arrows were nothing.
You're too new to this. You pushed yourself too hard.
Save them. Do the impossible, Kaladin. But don't push yourself too hard. But also don't feel guilty if you fail. precarious ledges, Syl. So narrow.
Some of his men returned with a wounded man, a square-faced Thalen fellow with an arrow in the shoulder. Kaladin went to work. His hands were still shaking slightly, but not nearly as badly as they had been. The bridge men clustered around, watching. He'd started training Rock, Drahi, and Scar already, but with all of them watching, Kaladin found himself explaining.
If you put pressure here, you can slow the blood flow. This isn't too dangerous a wound, though it probably doesn't feel too good. And the real problem will come from infection. Wash the wound to make sure there aren't any slivers of wood or bits of metal left, then sew it. The muscles and skin of the shoulder here are going to get worked, so you need a strong thread to hold the wound together. Now...
Kaladin?
What?
Kaladin!
Lopin had called him by his name rather than saying Gancho. Kaladin stood up, turning to see the short Herdasian man pointing at the chasm. The battle had moved farther north, but a group of Parshendi had punched through Sadius's line. They had bows. Kaladin watched, stunned, as the group of Parshendi fell into formation and knocked. 50 arrows all pointed at Kaladin's crew. The Parshendi didn't seem to care that they were exposing themselves to attack from behind. They seemed focused on only one thing, destroying Kaladin and his men.
We have to move!
The bridgemen around him turned as the archers drew. Sadius's men normally defended the chasm to keep Parshendi from pushing over the bridges and cutting off their escape, but this time, noticing that the archers weren't trying to drop the bridges, the soldiers hadn't hastened to stop them. They left the bridgemen to die, instead cutting off the Parshendi route to the bridges themselves. Kaladin's men were exposed, perfect targets.
No. No, it can't happen like this. Not after...
A force crashed into the Parshendi line, a single figure in slate-gray armor wielding a sword as long as many men were tall. The Shardbearer swept through the distracted archers with urgency, slicing into their ranks. Arrows flew toward Kaladin's team, but they were loosed too early, aimed poorly. A few came close as the bridgemen ducked for cover, but nobody was hit. Parshendi fell before the sweeping blade of the Shardbearer, some toppling into the chasm, others scrambling back. The rest died with burned-out eyes. In seconds, the squad of 50 archers had been reduced to corpses. The Shardbearer's honor guard caught up with him. He turned, armor seeming to glow, as he raised his blade in a salute of respect toward the bridgemen. Then he charged off in another direction.
That was him! Dalinar Corlin, the king's uncle!
He saved us!
He just saw a bunch of undefended archers and took the chance to strike. Light Eyes don't care about us, right, Kaladin?
Kaladin stared at the place where the archers had stood. In one moment, he could have lost it all.
Kaladin?
You're right. Just an opportunity taken.
Except why did he raise the blade toward me?
From now on, we'll pull back farther after the soldiers cross. They used to ignore us after the battle began, but they won't any longer. What I did today, what we're all going to be doing soon, will make them mighty angry. Angry enough to be stupid, but also angry enough to see us dead. For now, Leighton, Narm, find good scouting points and watch the field. I want to know if any Parshendi make moves toward that chasm. I'll get this man bandaged, and we'll pull back.
The two scouts ran off, and Kaladin turned back to the man with a wounded shoulder. Moash knelt beside him.
An assault against a prepared foe without any bridges lost, a Shardbearer coincidentally coming to our rescue, Sadius himself complimenting us. You almost make me think I should get one of those armbands.
Kaladin glanced down at the prayer. It was stained with the blood from a slice on his arm that the vanishing stormlight hadn't quite been able to heal.
Wait to see if we escape. That's the real test.